Really appreciate the presence of each one tonight. Our first Wednesday night class in quite a while. It's encouraging to see this good number out tonight as we begin this new study on basic traits of good character. It's our hope and prayer that it will be beneficial for us all, useful to us as Christians, and hopefully useful to the parents as they endeavor to train their children as well. So before we begin our class, we want to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. We'll ask Brother Wally Otters back, if you will, to lead our minds. Okay, we're beginning this study that we've chosen to call Basic Traits of Good Character. You can see the table of contents if you picked up that sheet. The aim will be to cover one topic per class period. And so you can see that I also have the dates. If for some reason you're out of town or not able to be here, you can see where we're supposed to be on that particular date or when you return. We encourage you to keep up if you can. And certainly, as you can see on the lessons, we have a section dealing with suggestion for parents in discussion with their children. And so that would be useful, whether you can attend or not, to discuss these matters with your children. I have a definition of character on the lesson. Does this definition fit this kind of a statement? Yeah, he's quite a character, all right. Does that fit? The word character, as with so many of our words, carries different connotations. The one we're going to be using is the one we have on the lesson, the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. I know your parents are studying with your children, and some of your children are young. And one parent told me what they did to try to get their children to understand what this is character is the way you would think and act if no one were present, no one saw you. That's a good way to convey that idea to a young person. It's who you really are, not who you want people to see you to be. And so character makes up the person. With the other usage of character, he's quite a character. We mean maybe that he's eccentric, he's odd, he is a nonconformist, maybe. And it's not necessarily a good thing, because he may take pride in being a quote-unquote character instead of learning and imbibing the basic principles of good character, which was what we're going to be studying in the course. Okay, so we're going to be looking at some of these character traits in this course. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. We have on your lesson, what is the ultimate measure of the mental and moral qualities that should be true of a person that wears the name Christian? According to Ephesians 4:13. What is it? Be like Christ. Look at verse 13. Until we all attain to. Now that tells you this is a growing process. It's a lifelong molding of one's character. And it's something that once we have proclaimed the name of Christ, we ought to want to attain. Look back in verse 1. I entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. So we've been called by the gospel to be a follower of Christ. And so now we make it our aim to attain to, in the last phrase of the verse, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. To have the mental and moral standards and attitudes and conduct that characterizes our Lord. That is the ultimate measure of character. It's one thing to know here's the standard. It's another thing to be able to implement that growth. And so this lesson we'll be talking about what will enable us to attain that character. What will build good character? And we've got some considerations. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. On your lesson, it says the world assaults our character. 1 John 5, 4, he talks about overcoming the world, which indicates there's a conflict. And he says, and I put on the lesson, the world assaults our mental and moral being, our character. And if allowed, we'll misshape it. What in this verse is the means of victory over the world?
Faith.
Faith in what? What? In God. That's exactly right. Look back up in verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ. In verse 5, who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Faith in God and in the gospel of His Son is what the writer said, John, will enable us to overcome the world. Now then, anybody can answer this question. It's not on your lesson. But what do you think of when you think of the world? Maybe we have some young people who want to answer that. What do you think of when you think of the world, young people? What comes to your mind? Anybody want to volunteer? Boy, we have really got some volunteers tonight.
Anybody that's not following Christ, following God's word, following His will.
The world.
Those around about us.
Those round about us? So we want to overcome those round about us?
That are not following the word.
Sin? Okay. What?
World of unbelief.
All right. What is the best way to find out what John meant? Go to the context. Let John tell us, right? John had something in mind. Let's go find out what he meant about overcoming the world. All right? So, look at chapter 2. And verse 16, and one answer given a while ago accords with this very well. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. So here are attitudes and conduct that are sinful. They're not authorized by, they're not begotten by, the Father. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. These things assail us daily. How am I going to overcome that and have the character God wants me to be? Faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is what he said in chapter 5. All right, look at chapter 3 and verse 13. Here's how he uses the world here. He talks about the world hating you. So what would the world there be? Linda mentioned it. The world of unbelievers. The world of unbelievers. They hate you because of the way you live. It condemns them. You make good moral choices. And that makes them look bad. They don't like it. They hate you for that. So overcoming the world and its animosity, the things they'll say about you and to you and try to make you feel uncomfortable, that is something we face. We have to overcome that to serve this master, overcoming the world. And what will enable us to stand in the face of all of that and overcome? Faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Not who our parents are. Not just going to church. Not just liking certain people. But faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. All right, one third way here in the book that he talks about the world. Look in verse 24 of chapter 3. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. And we know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. The us here being those who receive the Spirit and reveal the message, the apostles. Chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so, verse 5, they are from the world, they speak it from the world, and the world listens to them. So here's the world of error, religious error, false teaching. Here's another way that Satan assails our character, if he can persuade us of something that's not true. Whether it's having to do with sensuality, with marriage and divorce, with honesty. We're going to be talking about honesty, about moral integrity, about patience, whatever it may be. If he can persuade us of something that's not true, then he can overcome us. And so what's going to enable us to overcome it? We're back to our verse in chapter 5. Faith is the victory. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, in 1 John chapter 5 again, let's go back to verse 3. We have on your lesson, what will this faith in Christ do that will influence our character? According to this verse. So I believe in Jesus. Good. Wonderful. Let's hug and move on. What does he say faith in Jesus Christ will cause us to do? Verse 3. Keep his commandments. This is the love of God. Not feeling funny. That we keep his commandments. If I believe Jesus is the Son of God, with all my heart and being, then I will want to keep the commandments of God. And so, faith in Jesus motivates this commitment. I'm committed now. I'm not just out here on a sea drifting with the tide, letting this influence me and that influence me and this guide me and my friends guide me and my family guide me. I've got some direction in life, and that direction are the commandments of this Jesus that I believe in. He's the Son of God. Now, look down at the bottom of your lesson. We have suggested points for parents. Look at number 1. And so we're suggesting these that parents might discuss with their children or think about in their efforts to form and mold their children's character. The parents in this audience want their children to have the right kind of character. It won't happen because of their genes. That can help. It won't happen simply because you have a nice family. That certainly helps. But if I understand 1 John 5, what is the victory? Faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So if I'm a parent, and I believe that, what is a supreme responsibility I must realize to mold my children's character? What have I got to do?
Establish faith.
And so we have this question here. What can you do to instill a genuine, historically based faith in your children? A faith that they know what you believe and what you teach them is based not on generation. We believe it. Grandpa believed it. Not on friendship. Not on tradition. But history. A historically based faith. There was a man named Jesus. Here are the evidences of who he was. So in your efforts to build and mold your children, I suggest this is a real challenge. Their faith will be tested. What you've taught them, what they've seen in your home, will be tested. And thus the need to build this solid foundation for a good character. You had a comment, Ennis?
Yes, I think if we attempt to show our children as they're growing up examples in the Bible, that if we see that our children maybe think some are going a certain way or be tempted or something in a certain way, have an example from the Bible we can use to show them.
The examples from the Bible are good, but here's my problem, Ennis. I'm 18 years old now. I'm not under my parents anymore. I don't believe the Bible. So what if that's a potential, and it's a potential, folks, what do you do as a parent? You start building a historically based faith. That's it. And so we're talking about building character. I'm reading that faith is the victory. That's what John said. Faith that Jesus is the Son of God is the victory. I need my young people, my children, to understand why I believe that to be true. Okay, 1 John 5:11. What incomparable reward will this victory provide, and what impact will this have on building character, according to 1 John 5:11? Eternal life. You say, well, okay, if I build this character, will I be rich? No. You may not. It's not going to guarantee riches. Well, if mom, dad, if I build this character, will that mean I'm going to have an easy life? No, not necessarily. In fact, you may have trouble. Well, what's the advantage of this? There it is. Isn't it interesting that the answers to these questions are right here in 1 John and right here in chapter 5? What is the victory? What does that motivate us to do? And what is the reward of it? What's the so what? Eternal life. Now look at verse 13. 1 John 5:13. Where will this cause one to go for guidance and assurance in building character according to verse 13? Where do you say you can go now to establish this faith? The things that he wrote. That's what he's writing about. When you go back in chapter 1, and verse 1, what was from the beginning, what we've heard, what we've seen, what we beheld, etc. He said, verse 4, these things we write. This writer, same writer, had a narrative of Jesus, covered about 20 days of his life, selected miracles, and then when he finished the narrative, he said, these have been written, why? Why? That you may believe. John chapter 20, 30, and 31. You see the same thing here. So it's not wishing it, and certainly you ought to pray. We'll talk about prayer. But a historically based faith in Jesus that will overcome the world of sin and persecution and false doctrine, the source for building that faith is in what is written. What is one word for what is written?
Scriptures.
That's right. The Scriptures. And so we call it the Bible, the book. And we see all of that right here in 1 John chapter 5. All through this letter, he refers to what he has written for that very purpose. Okay. Our next question. When is an opportune time for building character? Proverbs 22:15. You can quote that one, can't you? What does it say? What? What about when he's a child or youth? Train up a child. What? And the way ought to go. Train up a child. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. And so you do that. you have at least some hope that he will not depart from it. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Where did Timothy grow up? At least when we first meet him. Where? In Lystra. That was a good place to live, wasn't it? What kind of religious people lived there? Idolaters. They were very receptive to truth, weren't they? When Paul came to town, they invited him in and fed him and treated him really good, didn't they? What did they do to him? That's right. They stoned him to death. That's where Timothy, first place we meet him. He said, there's no hope in building my children's character or building my character in an ungodly world like this society. You look on TV at the riots and the disrespect for your neighbor, disrespect for law and order, the ungodliness in our schools, on television and movies. There's no hope. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Here's Timothy. He must have had a wonderful daddy, right? No. We don't even know anything about his daddy except the indications are he wasn't a Christian. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we have a clue to why this young man, at the age of about 18, had already so proven himself that the Apostle Paul wanted him to go on a preaching journey with him. He had a reputation among brethren. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, he said, from childhood, you've known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It almost sounds like Paul and John were on the same track, doesn't it? He said, this is the victory, faith in Christ. He said, from a child, you've known the sacred writings that are able to lead you to salvation through faith in Christ. That's how this young man became the man that he did and became a gospel preacher. And two letters were written to him, 1 and 2 Timothy. So when is the opportune time for building character? Obviously when young. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Josiah. Said, began to seek the God of his father David. Josiah had a good daddy, didn't he? Had a corrupt daddy. What about his grandpa? One of the worst. Burned children in a fire to a false god. Wicked, wicked, wicked. So what hope do I have? My daddy's sorry or my husband's sorry? Grandpa's no good. What hope do I have? Here's Josiah. I don't know who taught him. I don't know if it was a priest. I don't know. Somebody. It's still faith in this young man. And it says here in verse 2, he did right in the sight of the Lord, walked in the ways of his father David. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still a youth. So he was 8 years old when he became king. The 8th year of his reign, how old was he? 16. 16, right? He began to seek the God of his father David. In the 12th year, he's 20, began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. Imagine, 20 years old, and you're going to go and tear down people's idols, throw them into the valley, burn them up. You reckon you'll incite any ill will? Yes. But he had a strong faith. But you see, from youth, somebody instilled that faith in him. And so don't wait till they're 20, 25, 30 to hope to build faith. Right now, and you parents that have your children here tonight are doing the right thing. Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:33. We're talking in this lesson about how to build character. And we've looked now how faith is the victory. We know where to find that source and foundation for our faith. But here's another thing that affects what kind of character we have. And if we're serious about building our character, who we are, whether anybody's around looking or not, is a fact. There's a factor that's mentioned in this text. And so, what do, and this is just one, I've got several, what do these scriptures point to that can undermine good character? What? Our friends, our associates. The word here used is bad company. Your version may say companions. Now notice it says bad company corrupts good morals. Now you'll notice he starts that with do not be deceived. Why would you say that? What would that imply? What? You can be deceived. This quote is actually not new with Paul. It's not unique to the New Testament. This was quoted by a fellow at least about 300 years earlier. Why do I mention that? To simply show it's not unique to Christianity. People for centuries have understood the influence of company or companions. Now that's an interesting word. That first of all, that word morals. Your verb may say manners. That word can refer actually to one's character. Bad company corrupts good character. Now, company. What do you mean by company? You look up this word, it's pretty interesting because the verb form of it, this is a noun, the verb form of it is translated talking with. So, a companion is someone you regularly converse with. That's one way to look at it. And the original word comes from the idea of a bunch or a group. So, a companion then is somebody in a group or a bunch that you interact with, and it may be by, you may never get in a chariot and go anywhere with them. Or today, get on an airplane and go somewhere with them, or in a car. But you interact maybe through conversation. Now, one way to interact through conversation is face to face. And so who is it that your children interact with face to face? Maybe in your neighborhood, maybe in your family. But that now, in our age, there's another way to converse that's open to every child. What is it? What?
iPads,
computer, cell phones. That's right. The internet. Facebook, Twitter, all these apps that are out there. And the games that are played on these, the things that go back and forth, the pictures that are sent. Okay, you're a parent. And you want to help your children. Look down at question number two, or point number two, not really questions. Some of them are, but look at number two down on the suggestion points for parents. While parents may be watchful about bad companions, what can you do to provide good companions for your children? And I don't have a specific answer I'm looking for. I'm asking for input from parents. What can you do to provide good company?
Make sure you're in good
company. That's a good answer. Make sure you're in good company. So what kind of people are you going to go out and eat with, or have into your home, or play games with, or travel with, or whatever it may be? There's one. What?
Provide an opportunity to have other people in your home.
All right. Invite good companions in your home. Have other young people that are known for their good character, so that, because that void needs to be filled. Young people want somebody to talk with and interact with. And so you as a parent, provide that. Don't just, no, you can't talk to them, you can't talk to them, you can't talk to them, you can't do that with them. What can you do to provide something to fill that void? And you can do things. You can open your home and you can have the right kind of people in, or you can, I guess, use even these social media platforms maybe in a positive way. I don't know a whole lot about that, regulating them, but maybe there's a way to do that. Did I see a hand back there?
Yeah, you can train them up in a way that you know so they can choose their own friends that are good.
You can do what? Now train them what?
Train them up the way that you go so they can make the choices themselves.
All right, train them in the way they should go so they'll make the right choices about friends. That's good. Yes. All right, here's a good suggestion. If you're a parent, want to be sure, if you believe these texts, you want to know who your children are with. What kind of children are they? We've got some older parents in here. We've got Wally and Linda. We've got Innocent Elizabeth. We've got Craig and Dawn. And looking around here, some others. What did y'all do to provide good companionship for your children? Now, I want to know what you did.
We did try to make sure that we had opportunity for him to spend time with other Christians his age, even though we lived a further distance from the normal group.
How did you go about doing that?
Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, going out to eat, trying to just find opportunities.
Okay, Don said what they tried to do, provide, be sure he had opportunity to intermingle with other Christians. What did y'all do?
When the meetings, especially when we lived in New Jersey, we were a long way away from each other. So we had to go to singing meetings. We drove over an hour to go to people's houses to get the young people together.
All right, that's excellent. Going to meetings, going to singings. Sometimes it takes a while to drive over there. I remember as a young person, we did that very much. A lot of meetings in the area where I grew up. We'd go to meetings. My poor wife, I don't know, I don't think I ever took her to a movie. I took her to gospel meetings is where we went. And so you get to meet the right kind of people, interact with the right kind. Does your companions... So we were in our teens. Do our companions have to be in our teens? No. No, they don't. And so anyway, think as a parent, here's something that can dramatically impact the character of your children. So what are you going to do about it? What are the practical things? You and your mate can talk about some practical things you can do. And the older parents here, if you wish to talk with them, can tell you some of the things they did. All right, look at Proverbs 14:7. We simply don't have time in these classes to read all the verses that I have on the lesson. I hope that you will have taken the time to do that. But I want you to look at Proverbs 14:7. One of the ways to be sure you, for your character and your family's character, have the right companionship, conversation, is verse 7. Leave the presence of a fool. Say bye. You can't get out of the world. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 5. But you don't have to continue to rub shoulders with the world. And I'm not ashamed of that. There's people I just don't want to be around. And there's people I don't want to have over to play a game, to watch a movie with. So leave the presence of a fool. And so these are things you can do. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. An excellent text for young and old, for parents and for young people. Verse 8 and 9, we have a section in our lesson about parent discussing things with them, between themselves and with their children. That's what verse 8 and 9 talks about, parent responsibility. Look at verse 10. My son, here's what a wise father tells his son. If sinners entice you, can sin be enticing? Oh, yes. Can it be fun? Yes. Don't deny it. But he said, if sinners entice you, do not consent. In other words, say no. Now that takes courage. And that courage can be built upon the commitment to our Lord and Savior. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. If they say come, with us. Let us lie in wait for blood. What are they appealing to?
Peer pressure.
Peer pressure. We're all together in this thing. Come on. What if you say no? What's wrong with you? You think you're better than us? Yes. That's a good thing, though. You lose the bad friends, and that's what you want to do. But that's where parents need to step in and say, we're going to supply that void. We're going to find some good people we can do things with. All right, and that's a good point Don makes. All right, and so verse 12, they appeal to victory and conquest. So let's swallow them alive like Sheol. Verse 13, personal gain. We'll find all kinds of wealth. And then you have this gang idea again. Group, club, you know, got children like to join a group in a club and wear a shirt. Look, throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. We'll all be in this together. But here's the danger that Paul is warning about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Okay, look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Chad, does your mom and dad provide you a place to live?
Yes, sir.
They provide you clothes?
Yes, sir.
They give you a place to sleep?
Yes, sir.
Is that all you need? That's all you need. So they don't have to give you any food, right?
They do.
Oh, you want some food? You think that's pretty important?
Yes, sir.
How about if they just feed you once a week? That'd be okay?
No.
No? I wonder what happened to Chad if they'd only feed him once a week. Look at 1 Peter 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babe. It doesn't say you are a newborn babe. Like newborn babes. Long for the pure milk of the word. Why? That by it you may grow in respect to salvation. The reason some people have been Christians for 5, 10, 15, 20 years and they're still weak because they haven't nourished their soul. You want to build a good character? You want to build a strong body and your son, your daughter? You feed them, and you feed them good food. You want to build their character? Feed them spiritual food. The unadulterated, uncontaminated Word of God. You know, the food you feed your family today, you got to be careful of. It may have been modified. No telling where it was procured. But here's the unadulterated Word of God. You want to nourish them to strength? Here's how you do it. 1 Peter 2, that's how we do our own character, feeding on the Word of God. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 6. So building a good character, we can all talk about it, but how do we go about it? That's what we're talking about in this particular study tonight. So in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God. What is the imagery?
Battleground.
We're in a war. They didn't have planes and missiles. It was hand-to-hand combat. And you're in a war, like it or not, you're in a war. And there's some very powerful forces that our enemy uses. Let me ask you, any of you young people ever play hockey? Anybody in here? Any of you young boys ever play baseball? You ever play catcher? You played catcher?
Yes, sir.
Did you? You didn't wear a helmet, did you?
I did.
You did? Why would you do that?
Well, for many reasons. One, I don't want to get hit in the head. I mean, overall, it's just a safety reason.
That's right. So before you get back there and squat down behind that plate, you pick up your helmet and you put it on, right? So here, we're in a war. Let's go, man. I'm ready. What about your helmet? What about your shield? What about your sword? What about the right preparation for your feet? That's what he talks about in these verses. You want to have a good character in the face of a war that we're in? Pick up the armor of God. And that's what he says here. And so, it would be foolish, like Wyatt says, I'd get behind a plate without a helmet, I'm going to get hit. It's not very safe. And you're in a world that if you don't pick up this armor, you're not going to be very safe. That's a fact. You can get baptized 10 times. But if you don't pick up this armor, you're going to be vulnerable. And so, in verse 18, he says something that should accompany this armor. Look what it is. What practice? Prayer and continuing prayer. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times. We have a question down on your the parents section down here. Number 3. I've already dealt with number 3. Number 4. Would it be good to pray not only for your children, but with your children when you pray, to inculcate your value for prayer and give some idea of how to pray? Do your children hear you pray? Yeah, they hear me. Thank God for the chili. Wait, is that it? Do they see that you believe in prayer? That you're devoted to prayer? And so, you want to build good character in yourself? Here's how to do it. Take up this armor. Pray. You want to build good character in your children? Feed them right. Equip them. And pray. So here we have direction right here in our text. Okay. Lily? You ever look in the mirror?
Yeah.
You do? Before you go to school or something?
Yeah.
Why do you do that for? Make sure you're ready. You want to see what you look like, huh? Right. Well, what if you look in the mirror and you look in there, but then you say, and go on. That'd be very smart? No. Look at James 1. James chapter 1. Isn't it interesting as we go through scriptures how the writers use just everyday things that we're familiar with to teach? Look at verse 23. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. Once he's looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. But the one who looks intently in the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this one will be blessed in what he does. You want to build a character? What's your character like today? I don't know. What do you look like today? You getting ready to go to school or go to work? I don't know. I've got time to look in the mirror. No. You take the time to look in the mirror. Self-examination. How do I look in this mirror? Not mom and dad. They love you. You're wonderful. You're sweet. And we as adults, what do you think, sweetheart, about me? Oh, you're great. Or your parents, or your family. No. Here's the mirror. How do you look in this? Self-examination. And so we have the question number 5 in the suggested discussion points. How can you nurture the practice of self-examination in your children? I'm interested. Anybody in the audience have any ideas? How can you nurture that in your children? Ennis?
Seeing everything he did, everything he said, and be aware that God
All right, good point. Make them aware that God sees everything in the house, in the dark, in the car.
Oh, I was just going to say, we're willing to admit when we've failed and they see us try to fix those things, it may be more...
Excellent point. Be honest. Hey, look, I looked in that mirror, I don't look too good. Admit it. Admit it. And, you know, it's not going to help if your mate comes to you and says, do I look all right? Say, oh, you look lovely. And their hair's messed up. And they got food in their teeth. And, you know, oh, yeah, I don't want to hurt your feelings. You look wonderful. No. That's not how we're going to help us have self-examination. Same with the Word of God. Look into it. And if necessary, help your mate or your member of your family, your child, but especially start with self. Look in the mirror. Yes.
Sometimes we have to help them see their self-worth. We don't want to always be criticizing everything they're doing where they don't have any self-esteem.
That's a good point. We're going to talk about that on our next class, the Lord willing. Wally's going to be teaching that. On love. Love your neighbor what? As yourself. That's an excellent point that Elizabeth makes. We need to teach our children self-worth and self-esteem. That's very important. Well, we're going to start talking about looking into the mirror to see if we fit. Guess what we're going to be doing in the next 12 classes? Oh, here's the way your hair is supposed to look. Here's to see if your teeth are clean. Oh, let's see. Here's if your clothes are straight, except it's not going to be those things. It's going to be things like honesty and integrity and humility. You're looking in the mirror. Let's see, how do I look? And that's the idea, to help build our mental and moral character.